Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program that examines current events in the light of biblical truth. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is about Governor Mike Pence, the Republicans' Vice P nomination. And the reason I want to do a program about Pence is because he's a professing Christian, a conservative leader, who you should get to know. Plus, you should know about his recent fallout with Christian conservatives over his failing to stand for the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in Indiana. And this is an example to all of us in regard to compromising or standing for God's truth. I'll talk about that in a moment, but first let's get some background on Mike Pence. He was born in 1959 in Indiana to Catholic Irish parents. The family was Democrat. During Pence's college years, he made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and he began to call himself a born-again evangelical Catholic. He said, "I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and that changed everything." And in the mid-1990s, Pence joined an evangelical contemporary megachurch in Indianapolis. Megachurches are not known for being bastions of doctrinal teaching, but this church might be an exception. Pence appears to have a strong Christian testimony. In a New York Times article, it mentions that fellow congressmen would joke about the need to clean up their language when they were around Pence. After an election speech, Pence once said, "Jesus Christ came to save sinners, among whom I'm foremost of all." And Pence gave a commencement address at his college and said that there was one person I met during my years here who changed my life more than all my friends and family combined. And he was referring to Jesus Christ. He said, 30 years ago this spring, I embraced the truth. So back in the college years, Pence began to grow in his faith and his politics began to change. He voted for Jimmy Carter in the 1980s, but soon joined the Reagan Revolution. He was one of those Democrats who came over to the Republican side when the Democrats went pro-choice and abandoned the social issues. After law school, he went into private practice. He had a couple of failed attempts in running for Congress. Then in 1994, he hosted a radio program in Indiana, The Mike Pence Show, a conservative talk show like The Rush Limbaugh Show. And Pence was described as Rush Limbaugh on decaf. This was a three-hour-a-day show, which is an amazing task to have to pull off every day. Then in the year 2000, he ran for Congress. He won, served four terms. Then in 2012, he ran and won as governor of Indiana. So here's a man who has made his career politics, has been a champion of many conservative causes, pro-life, smaller government, free enterprise. And Pence was a champion of the Christian community until what is called his betrayal in his amending of Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act. What is the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, RFRA as it's called? Well, back in 1993, the Congress and President Clinton passed a bill basically raising the bar against government interfering with religion. Now, government always interferes with religion in that it requires religions to keep the law of the land. A religion has to follow local zoning ordinances. A religion has to pay Social Security on employees. But RFRA now required the government, the federal government, to accommodate to religion as much as possible. Quote, "Government shall not substantially burden a person's exercise of religion, even if the burden results from a rule general applicability, or rather, even if the rule applies to the general public and is not directed against religion." So for the government to now pass a law that negatively affects a religious practice or conviction, the government's interests must be compelling rather than simply improving government efficiency. The government must find the least restrictive way to meet its objectives. Now, the Democrats supported this law because they wanted to support Indian tribes smoking peyote in their ceremonies. And the Republicans supported this bill because they knew it would help Christian churches in the future. And today, RFRA is being applied to Christian rights against those who are trying to force Christians to accommodate to homosexual practices. And in theory, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act should mean that the government cannot force Christian bakers or florists to do business with homosexual weddings, since the least restrictive solution would be to allow Christians to practice their convictions, because for every Christian who will not participate in a homosexual wedding, there are 99 other bakers and florists who will. The homosexual community is not substantially burdened by giving Christians religious freedom. Now, this has not been applied or tested at the Supreme Court level. But in principle, RFRA is a law that can be used to back Christian freedom in America. And for this reason, the ACLU, who supported RFRA back in 1993, states that they no longer support this law. Because, quote, RFRA could be used to discriminate against others, as the events of the past couple years amply illustrate. It is now often used as a sword to discriminate against women, gays, and transgender people, and others. But conservatives have used RFRA to support Christian rights for the last 25 years. But the shortfall in RFRA is that the Supreme Court decided that the law can only apply to federal laws, not to state laws. And so Christian activists have been working to get RFRA bills passed in individual states. And so far, 20 states have voted to copy the federal law into their state statutes. Last year, 2015, Arkansas and Indiana did just that. And Indiana pretty much copied the federal law word for word into their statutes. This is the same law Bill Clinton signed back in 1993. And when Indiana did this, the LGBT community went ballistic. 3,000 showed up at the state house to protest. Activists were calling for boycotts of Indiana. There were a number of CEOs who said they would no longer do business in Indiana. The NCAA said they would not hold events there in the future. And the city of San Francisco banned taxpayer-funded travel to the state, which was to be expected. So, with all of this media pressure, what did Mike Pence do? He couldn't repeal the law because that would look bad. So, in his mind, he had to change the law. He had put into the bill the following language: make sure that this bill would not be used as a defense in court for refusing to accommodate to the LGBT lifestyle. The bill now reads that this law cannot be used to offer or provide services, facilities, use of public accommodation, goods, employment, housing to any customer based on race, color, religion, ancestry, age, national origin, disability, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or United States military service. Do you understand what this amendment did? It not only reversed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in Indiana, it actually codified into law that Christians cannot refuse to accommodate in their business to LGBT activity. You must bake the cake. You must provide the flowers. You must even print the t-shirts for LGBT parades. And it used to be that Christians could even refuse to do business with a strip club out of moral convictions. But now even that is illegal. Christians no longer have the right to apply their moral convictions to their business dealings. And teachers can no longer be laid off if they're transvestites or if they teach LGBT morality. And lawyers have pointed out that this is the first time Indiana has included in its laws sexual orientation and gender identity. And that the law not only sanctions homosexual behavior, but requires everyone to accept it. And it can be said that this Indiana RFRA law is now the Homosexual Freedom Restoration Act. It furthers the rights of LGBT. It equates sexual immorality with human rights. It is the same pagan ideology being promoted by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, trying to advance LGBT rights in the world. It legitimizes it, it decriminalizes it, it supports it. It helps to change the system of values and beliefs in our culture. It's part of the plan to get the whole world to accept LGBT. It's the agenda of the Human Rights Campaign Organization, the equal sign. The LGBT agenda has been well described as five stages. This is from an LGBT opponent, Scott Lively. Five steps to cultural conquest. Number one, the homosexuals request tolerance, the right to be left alone. Then number two, they demand acceptance, meaning equal status. Then number three, they demand celebration. Everyone must promote homosexuality as a good value. Then number four comes forced participation in the gay culture. And then stage number five comes punishment upon everyone who disagrees. And this revised version of Indiana's RFRA law is step four. People are now required by law to participate in the gay culture. And this law actually implies step five. You are punished for practicing sexual discrimination against LGBT because it's now against the law. And as you would expect, the liberal media said that this was an incredible reversal. The LGBT lobby cheered for this victory. The Christian community was devastated. Eric Miller, founder of the conservative group Advance America, said that the proposed changes to the RFRA in Indiana is not a fix, but a hammer to destroy religious freedom. And it was all done behind closed doors. Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. This new proposal guts the Religious Freedom Act and empowers the government to impose fines on people who follow their beliefs about marriage. Eric Erickson wrote that Christian evangelicals, in particular, were disheartened that Pence threw them under the bus. The irony is that as Trump's vice presidential pick, some of those evangelicals most critical of Pence at that time will now come out and say how awesome he is. But during that fight, there was some real bitterness in the evangelical community, and Pence clearly did not have the courage of his convictions. Now, in considering Pence's actions here, we can be pretty sure this was not a mistake on the part of Mike Pence. Pence has a degree in law. He knows the legal issues. He knows exactly what this change means. Apparently, he is of the conviction that Christians ought to be forced to provide business services for homosexual activities. And that is a common position among left-leaning evangelicals. And the justification for this has to do with a pluralistic secular view of government. That we cannot enforce Christian law on unsaved people, so that laws need to be based on fairness and equality, not upon the law of God, biblical or natural. And as I've mentioned on this program many times, that position is the national path to Sodom. And the reason America caved in on abortion and LGBT rights is not that at first the majority of Americans believed in those practices, but the majority of Americans held to a view of government as a secular institution rather than to the Romans chapter 13 definition of government, that magistrates act under Christ and they're representatives of Christ. It appears that Mike Pence is holding to that mistaken principle pluralism view of government. And if you want more on this subject, go back and listen to my program 121 on the doctrines of civil government. There I explain the error of the principle pluralism view of government. And this position is usually coming from weak Christians, Christians who spend more time being influenced by the media and by the culture rather than reading their Bibles. In his response, Governor Pence said the following. Over the past week, this law has become the subject of great misunderstanding and controversy across this nation and our state. However we got here, we are where we are. It's important that our state take action to address the concerns that have been raised and move forward. Last week, I called upon Indiana's General Assembly to clarify that these new judicial standards would not create a license to discriminate or to deny service to any individual, as its critics have alleged. I'm grateful for the efforts of legislators and businesses and other community leaders who came together to forge this new clarification language of the law. In the midst of this furious debate, I have prayed earnestly for wisdom and compassion. I have felt the prayers of people across this state and nation. For that, I will be forever grateful. Well, here's the lesson. We can pray, but our talking to God is not as important as our listening to God's word. The sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination to God. And in ancient Israel, the people used to pray in the temple continually, but profaned God in their practices. It's not enough to pray. It's not enough to have good conservative intentions. We must thoroughly be knowledgeable in God's word. And Mike Pence reminds me of King Jehoshaphat. He served God, but he compromised with evil. And therefore, he is known as Jumping Jehoshaphat, meaning that he jumped from position to position. And the interesting thing about Jehoshaphat is that because of his compromise, he laid the foundation for great immorality and evil to be brought into Judah. Jehoshaphat arranged for his son to marry the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel in a political alliance. Her name was Athaliah, and she eventually became the Baal-worshipping, wicked queen of Judah. There's another biblical character that comes to mind, Lot, Abraham's nephew. And Lot went to live in the city of Sodom, while Abraham stayed in the country. And in Genesis chapter 19, two angels entered into Sodom, and Lot is sitting at the gate of Sodom, meaning that he was on the city council. He was a political leader. Somehow Lot became a financially successful rancher, and he worked his way into the politics of Sodom. Now, I'm not saying that Christians should not hold a political office, but Christians today, in holding offices in America, are sitting in the gates of Sodom. And if a Christian politician stands for what's right, he will probably not be very successful in Sodom politics. I have no doubt that Trump picked Mike Pence to be his running mate because Trump also favors LGBT rights. Trump, like many, believes that law should be based upon equality. And Pence's principled pluralistic views fit Trump's moral views. I suspect if Pence did not rewrite and overturn Indiana's religious freedom law, chances are his political career in Washington would have been over. So this biblical character, Lot, was a man who sat in the political gates of Sodom, and as the LGBT movement in Sodom was coming to power, he probably tolerated their behavior under the same justifications that immature Christians tolerate their behavior today. But notice in 2 Peter chapter 2, remarkably, Lot's personal spiritual condition is described for us. Verse 6, And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by destruction, by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter, and if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Now, if it were not for that text, few readers of the Bible would expect to see Lot in heaven. For how could a man of God sit in the gate of Sodom, marry a woman who wanted to stay in Sodom, become a drunkard, commit incest with his daughters, and become the father or progenitor of the wicked Moabites? But the text says he was a righteous man. Even Abraham was righteous, though he had sinned. So that righteousness had to be an imputed righteousness from the Messiah. But in his righteousness, he was oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled people in Sodom, and his righteous soul was tormented day after day by their lawlessness. But for Lot, that vexing of the soul was not enough for him to take a political stand against the homosexuals and to lose his seat in the gate. And we even see Lot trying to appease the Sodomites when they're breaking down his door. He said, "You can have my two daughters, but don't hurt my visitors." I can almost guarantee you that any man who tries to appease homosexuals in that way would have also tried to appease them politically rather than standing for God's word. I suspect Lot would have held to that principal pluralism position on the role of government. Well, the text says that the Lord rescued Lot from that situation. Even in his compromise, he found grace and forgiveness. And let's not forget the other main point, that God is reserving the unrighteous for the day of judgment. Judgment day is coming. We need to remember to stand in this evil day, for we will be vindicated. History will be on our side. All evildoers, the entire LGBT movement, will someday be discredited, even if it takes the final apocalypse upon this world to do it. And the honor will forever go to those Christians who stood up against the evil. They may be receiving the scorn of men today, but someday they will be honored by God and by all the people in his kingdom. Maybe the lesson we can learn from Mike Pence is to stand firm and to never compromise, because we can lose our entire life testimony if in the time of pressure we cave, because we didn't prepare ourselves. We weren't firm in our knowledge of the word of the Lord, and we weren't firm in our convictions. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Email me and I will send you a weekly email synopsis of each upcoming program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for your prayers and for financially supporting the purchase of airtime. May God richly bless you as you continue faithfully for Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, you've set before us in Scripture and in life many examples of your servants, the good and the bad. Help us to see our mistakes. And thank you for the forgiveness that's always available, that we can always be restored because we stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.